but it's down to Cologne Ranger and Jeremy's Jet. Which of these will take the lion's share of $1 million? Jeremy's Jet on the inside, dead game, captures the metro.
Moving pictures from the backfield is coming on. Moving pictures on the far outside, reaches up for Mark McDonald to win the Breeders' Crown Open Mare Pace. It is Moving Pictures with a 9-1 stutter and 151.
Tying up on the end of it, trying to reach Mystical Sunshine. And it's Peaceful Way with her brilliant winning way to capture the
Coast to coast on the World Wide Web, this is Trot Radio on Standardbred Canada. Norm Borg from the home office at Rideau-Carlton Raceway, and what I'm about to say, I feel I can say with some impunity because I am a horse person. Horse people are the hardest persons to please. Sunday morning, Christmas Day, someone in our community will find something to complain about. Now, I say that with some level of jest, but if you're a member of OHA and you're the president of OHA, you might know what I'm talking about. Daryl MacArthur is on the show. He'll be talking on the latest, trials and tribulations that have affected that organization that has been around for a long time. We'll talk to Daryl when we come back on Trot Radio.
August 20th through the 23rd, Sarnia will come alive with the first ever edition of Adrenaline, an event that will combine world-class horse racing and entertainment. Take in special limited seating events like Ultimate Band Challenge, Yuck Yucks on Tour, and the finals of the FBA Advanced Bartenders Competition, and play the Ponies Tournament. Adrenaline is all about food and drink as we feature over 15 food vendors plus beer and spirit tents. Adrenaline, so much more than racing. Purchase tickets for limited seating events online before they sell out. Go to AdrenalineFest.ca.
Welcome back to Trot Radio. Our guest on the other end of my line is Daryl MacArthur, recently appointed new president of OHA. Daryl, welcome to Trot Radio again.
Pleasure as always, Norm. Thanks for having me.
It's been a turbulent time, to say the least, for your organization.
Yes, there have been some transitions that have occurred over the past few months, going back into the beginning of the year where we did have a new president, and Bill O'Donnell served in that capacity for up until the end of April, at which time I think everybody knows Bill stepped down, and at the same time we had eight other directors step down at the same time. Since then I've been filling the role as president, and we're moving forward.
Now, Bill's departure, I know, had a lot to do with the fact that Woodbine was not recognizing OHA as a bargaining representative of the horse people. Is that going to change, or is it changing?
Well, ideally, from my perspective and OHA's perspective, that would be the scenario that we would like to see come to fruition. From the standpoint of what WEG's position is, it's safe to say that the people to speak with about that would be WEG. What I can say is that as an organization, we're here to represent the horse people, and ideally that includes the number one racetrack operator in the province and the country.
So nothing yet, no overtures from WEG?
There have been no. Since the beginning of the year, there have been no negotiations that have occurred. When Bill was president, there were a couple of general meetings that did occur, but at no time have there been any actual constructive negotiations.
Let's tackle a touchy problem, which in fact was brought up by Bill O'Donnell and covered on Trot Radio Online. Bill was quoted as saying that there are murmurings of people wanting to start a new horse persons group, and I think it was to particularly deal with Woodbine. What's been your sense on that?
I haven't been approached directly by any individual in regards to a new horseman's group. You do hear, as you said, the murmurings and rumblings. I do know there have been some changes at the shop organization, and with those changes, again, you hear the rumors that this is a prep for a potential merger with this new group. Outside of that, I'm not privy to any of that information. Again, I'd reiterate that OHA has always been and continues to be a provincial-wide organization. We represent horse people throughout the entire province, and we feel that strength in numbers is the key. And on a go forward, we don't see having a regional setup beneficial to horse people whatsoever.
It's easy to kick a man when he's down, but I think we all want to look forward. And the problem becomes, though, you're bringing a new perspective. And I have to ask, hopefully, that perspective will be different than the one of your predecessor, two presidents back. The feeling that I got in my talks with various people was that the attitude was too confrontational with the tracks by OHA under the leadership at the time. Is it your intent to maybe change that?
Well, I think it's, I guess, perception, again, is the key word. Typically, because of the role that OHA plays, similar to that of any representative organization of people, we're not a union, absolutely not. We don't have the protection, the protected status of a union, and we absolutely have a different role to play than a union. But as I said earlier, because of our role, OHA does tend to react more to situations when it comes to an adversarial position, and we absolutely do not go out looking for troubles, but when we feel there's a situation or a scenario at play where horse people are not they're not being treated in the fairest light, it's at that time that we will say weigh in and offer our position. And because of circumstance, I guess it's fair to say that people would see it for the most part when OHA is involved in a dispute, it's because we are reacting to the scenario as opposed to presenting it.
Yeah, I mean, the sense we got as those watching in was that your predecessors were taking out an elephant gun to kill a mouse. I mean, you know, some pretty harsh statements made on the OHA side by your executives. So, you know, I guess the hope is that you might take a more balanced approach. Be the hard negotiator when you have to, but let people that own the tracks know that you're there to represent the horse people in a more equitable fashion and that you could reach out to the tracks.
From that standpoint, absolutely. Our relationship with the majority of the racetracks in the province have always been very strong and continue to be strong. If anything, I would suggest that perhaps the communications point in the past has not been as strong as it could be. Mm-hmm. And rightly or wrongly, if the membership does not have all the information that's available to them, and that's where we need to ask ourselves: have we taken this information and made sure that the people have it in their hands to help better understand some of the decisions that are made at the board and the executive level? I will offer and accept the fact that on a go forward, that's something that absolutely we need to be doing a stronger job of. We need to deliver the message as the membership chooses to receive it, as opposed to the method that we choose to deliver it.
Well, that's certainly a more forward-looking statement, and I think it's much appreciated. Let's talk about the situation, one in particular, between Jim Whalen and WEG, because I think, and I don't have my law degree yet, it goes to the heart of some basic fundamental freedoms on both sides of the issue. WEG, Woodbine, Mohawk, a private business, not for profit, but private nonetheless, has the right to say who does and who doesn't participate at their racetracks. Mr. Whalen seems to feel that that's not entirely fair. What's OHA's position on this?
Well, OHA's position has been pretty straightforward from the beginning, and going back, we don't need to go back further than the Sudbury case to spell out that was a long-fought battle. It was many years of horse people who had been at times barred from racetracks, and the position that these people who have been barred in the past were always the undesirables, people who had past mm-hmm. discretions or had perhaps drug positives or other offenses through the ORC.
Yeah, they were convicted cheaters, and they were dealt with accordingly, yeah.
Yeah, unfortunately, when you look at the actual evidence, it doesn't play out. That wasn't, in fact, the case. And there were many cases where horsemen as individuals did take racetracks to the courts, and private property did, in fact, trump. The Sudbury case changed that. The government did, in fact, recognize that the ORC, as the regulator, when it comes to horse racing itself, yes, the private enterprise does have certain protections under private property, but as a licensee to the ORC, as a licensee to the federal government, as the holder of specific monopolies that are granted to them by the governments, they also need to abide by the rules that their license applies. And the Sudbury case spells it out. If you are in good standing with the ORC and the licensee holder, if a track chooses to bar you for one reason or the other, the ORC does have the mandate and the power to weigh in. And in the past, they have done exactly that. And this access document, it's actually a racing contract, and that's what it boils down to. Our position is that horse people when it comes to racing contracts. OHA is in position and in place and has been for many years to represent horse people. We were in place at the time when these contracts started to be required to be signed by WEG, similarly to the situation in Sudbury now where they have the same documents. These are racing contracts that individuals are being requested to sign, and if they don't sign, they're not permitted to participate. Our position is that if your license is in good standing with the ORC, your license is in good standing with the Standardbred Canada, as a horse person, you should have the privilege to participate in our sport.
Very much understood. Now, I understand that that ruling against Mr. Whalen has been stayed. When is the next meeting before the ORC going to be held to make a final ruling on that?
The hearing itself is scheduled for the 29th of June. There's actually a second day that's been tentatively scheduled for mid-July. The feeling is that we're doing that just to be sure in case we everything isn't covered the first day, that we already have a second day in play. And outside of that, it's in the hands of the different legal departments. That's all I can say.
I'm glad you said legal departments, because I can see this one going a long way, because it does speak to property rights versus, you know, what you do for a business. In this case, a racetrack being trumped by the organization that governs harness racing. I always got a laugh when, and no disrespect to WEG, but I thought it was rather funny that Casey Coleman gets put in the D barn the same year she wins the O'Brien Award. I thought that was poetic justice, but that's just me. Daryl MacArthur, new president of OHA, thanks for this.
Oh, you're very welcome, Norm, as I said, anytime. And I just want to reiterate to any of our members that if they have any questions or concerns, I'm available at the office or through email. And by all means, please contact your local directors or me personally at the office.
That is Daryl MacArthur, the new president of OHA, as we wrap up Trot Radio for another edition, a presentation of Standardbred Canada, technical producer Chris Knowles, and brought to you by Board Communications.